Well, if you have any sense, you just must know that God's not a liar and all your answers are in here. They're not someplace else. They're in here. All you have to do is look them up. Believe it by faith and God will give it to you. You don't need 14,000 people helping you to believe. They'll usually talk you out of it. God likes to perform miracles for people who don't have any better sense than to take the Bible, open it up yourself, and read it, and believe it. Read where Jesus performed a miracle and say, well, Jesus never changes. He'll perform one for me, bless God forever. And just start claiming your own miracle, and the Holy Spirit perform it for you. John said it was a dark hour, brother, in the life of the First Baptist pastor and his wife, to give birth to a child that's deformed. John put it this way. He says, I don't know, didn't know what to do. Well, that's the way everybody is. I don't know what to do. If you knew what to do, you know, you'd do it. Well, now some people know what to do. Some full gospel people, they know what to do, but they don't do it. Get over in the conditions and things like that, you know. They know what to do, but they don't do it. You have to be doers of the word, not hearers only. If you're doers of the word, God will perform the Bible for you. The Holy Spirit of God that's inside of you, if you're born again, he is a performer of God's word. That's the reason that God says, now you've heard this in your, behind your pulpit by your preacher and evangelist all your life, that the Spirit of God and the word of God agree. You've heard that before, haven't you? Well, that's the way it is. That's the truth. The Spirit of God and the Word of God agree. And the only reason the Holy Spirit don't do anything more for you than what he does is because he don't agree with you. Now you might say, Brother Norville, why don't the Holy Spirit make me rich? Well, he don't agree with your study and your version and your claiming and your faith concerning prosperity scriptures in here. He don't agree with you. In fact, most of you probably left them alone and never did even study them. So there's no way the Holy Spirit could ever help you. You'd have to operate just on your natural understanding and your natural trained mind. Like if you go over at the University of Tennessee and get a degree, then work for 20 years, you can build yourself up, you know, and make a pretty good living like that, you know, and get a career and trade and so forth, you know, that's fine. But that's just natural understanding and natural training. Any natural man can do that, and that's fine. That's fine. God's made that way for you, too. That's fine. But it's just not the best. There's a lot of things that's good, but not God's best. God's best is to let you know where good deals are at by the word of knowledge. God's best is to lead you by his knowledge where a piece of property is. You can buy it and make $500,000 on it. God's best is to show you something in business where you can make some money. And you better watch one thing. The two worst mistakes you ever make in your life, if you listen to my tapes, you'll learn this. The two worst mistakes you ever make in your life is marrying the wrong person, number one. And number two, letting human beings talk you in to investing your money. Now, that's the two worst mistakes you ever make. I'm just telling you like it is. Or going in partners with somebody, usually, you know, oh, brother. No, you should listen to my tapes, see? If you don't know anything, listen to my tapes. You can learn a little bit, you know. I didn't say you can learn everything, but you can learn a little bit. If you read the Bible and believe what's in here, you can learn what you need. Everything's in here you need. Everything's not on my tapes, but a lot of it's on my tapes. I can help keep you out of the ditch. If you listen to my tapes, I can help keep you healthy. If you listen to my prosperity tapes, I'll help keep you wealthy. If you listen to the joy tapes, soul winning tapes, you can keep the victory all the time. Blessed be God forever, win souls. You want to have joy in your life? Well, win souls and you'll have joy. God gives soul winners special joy. He puts joy in their feet. The only reason Donnie and his wife is full of joy all the time, sitting on the front taking notes, both of them, look at him taking notes. He's a tent preacher. He's an old-fashioned tent preacher, preaches like a house of fire. You know why they do that all the time? Because they're soul winners. They take tents all the time. They're not going to be home for 6 months. They have a house in Fort Worth, Texas. They're not going to be home for 6 months. Sleep in their own bed. It don't make no difference to them where they sleep. They have a trailer they pull with them. They sleep in their trailer. They sleep in motel rooms. They come here for a week and study and listen and learn and preach, pray. For the week that I'll turn Donnie loose on you. Let him preach to you. I'm a teacher myself. I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher. I have to walk in the office that God called me to walk in. God unfolds the Bible to me, and I have to, and just dissects it to me so I can just absolutely just unfold it to you so you can understand what it is. But now Donnie, see, he'll preach like a house of fire. He'll lift you out of your seat. Well, that's what he's called to do. He's called to take tents to cities and make the devil mad and win souls for God and hold up flags and preach like a wild man. Well, it's the truth. God blesses him too. God blesses his wife. And she's a little teeny dandy thing, you know. You would never think a little teeny woman like her could drive a truck and put up tents. I told people in my room last night. I told a bunch of people in my room last night. I said, Donnie Johnson has probably got one of the best wives I've ever seen in my life. What's the truth? He's probably got one of the best wives I've ever seen in my life. Now, brother, I mean, she's a good wife. Now, you talk about a first-class wife. Drive a truck across the country and put up a tent. She'll get men, go to town, get all their permits from the city. They don't want to give her permits, but she gets them anyway. Well, I mean, some of them will, some of them don't. And she just goes at it. I mean, she goes in there to put the tent up. She don't go and listen to a bunch of excuses. Gets the permits, get the men get together, if Donnie's not even there, and put up the tent. Take the tent down. You mean a woman can do that? Oh, yeah, you said that right. If you pray, you can do anything. But she's a pretty little dainty woman. You know, a little dainty woman dressed in a nice black dress and shoes. You put up a tent and drive trucks. Yeah, she'd do anything. She'd just do anything for God. She's got to be a prayer warrior because she wouldn't live with Donnie for 16 years while he was drinking. They married his high school kids. See, they married in high school, I guess, or high school sweethearts. She kept praying for him, you know, and finally got him saved. Got saved in a bar. Went back to the bar the next day and started preaching. Been preaching ever since. Glory to God forever. Sold out for the Lord. Just sold out. Well, you know, most of them, if they go on the road for 4 or 5 weeks, you know, just 2 or 3 weeks, they're totally wore out. I mean, wore out like a frazzle, man. They're wore out, just totally wore out. It don't wear her out. She just keeps on going for 6 months. Every time I see her, she's full of joy. Right, honey? Yeah, full of joy. Don't go home for 6 months, sleep in her own bed, full of joy. Well, how does God give you that kind of life? Well, you've got to be sincere and get with it, and he'll give you that kind of life. God is successful all the time, brother, and he'll give you the joy of the Lord. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you can keep the joy. And you just have to understand, you can't have joy, much joy in your life. You can't have much joy in your life when you look over and you go to the hospital and now you got a deformed baby. It's like all your joy goes out the window. There's only one thing left to do. John, being a First Baptist pastor, he said, well, I don't know if God did this to my child or the devil did it. And most people says, well, God did it. But he said, I'm going to find out from the Bible if God did this to my child or the devil did it. When you're a First Baptist pastor, you don't know who did it. In fact, when you're a First Baptist pastor, you don't know much of anything except salvation, you know. Thank God that's the best thing to know. But as far as healing and miracles and deformed people, you don't know what to do. So John began to read the Bible, and he studied the Bible. He found out by reading the Bible that God, every good thing comes to you, comes down from the Father of lights, the Bible says. That all good things comes to you, come from heaven. All bad things that comes to you, comes from the world of darkness and the work of hell and the work of demons and the work of darkness. It just does, that's all. So then he said, I began to study the Bible to find out. I'm going to study the Bible to find out if God has promised to do anything about this or not. He started studying the Bible and he found out that God had promised to do. He found out when you start studying the Bible. Everybody say, studying the Bible. When you start studying the Bible, you will find out that God has promised you that he will do something about anything. Oh, really? You're never left in the mercy of defeat and conditions. God has promised you to do something about everything. But you have to know that, know how to do it. He said, I found out that God promised to do something about it. Listen closely, listen real close. He said, I found out that God had promised to do something about it by faith. Not getting your deformed child in a car and driving, wiring the tires out, trying to find somebody to get a miracle for you. Get one yourself, you old lazy thing, you. Get a miracle yourself. What do you mean, get a miracle myself, Norval? I don't know God that well. Well, study the Bible. You're born again, aren't you? Yeah, well, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Well, study the Bible. Believe what you read. And when you come across scripture that Jesus is a miracle worker, just know that he don't ever change. Just know that Jesus said, what I do for one, I'll do for the other. And just know that the one you read about in the Bible is the one, but always remember this, you are the other. Glory to God forever. That miracle that Jesus did in the Bible is the one, but you are the other. Jesus said, what I do for one, I'll do for the other. Please get this out of your mind once and for all and forever. Any blessing in the Bible that God promises to a believer as promised to the church, it is yours. Well, Brother Norwood, you know, but the Lord might not want to, you know. Don't you think sometimes, Norwood, don't you think sometimes that there's a case, you know, just sometimes maybe, you know, just sometimes there's a case where God just, I mean, he just won't do it. Don't you think there's a case sometimes like that? Well, why don't you ask God sometime that question? I can tell you right now what he'll do. He'll go, what does that mean? That means that you're dizzy. That kind of thinking even makes God mad. For you to even think that God would do something for somebody else, but he won't do it for you, you might as well slap God in the face. Because you're saying, to believe that way, you're saying that God loves somebody else more than he loves you. Well, there's no truth in that. That's a lie from hell. There's no truth in that. There's not one human being loving in the world that God loves any more than he loves you. And he'll do anything for you. You, not somebody else. He'll do anything for you. Glory be to Jesus forever. John said, by making a long study of the Bible, I found out that God had promised to do something about it by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God unless you believe him before you see it. I mean, you have to believe you got it before you see it. How can I believe I got something if I don't see it? You believe it by faith. Would you like for me to give you a perfect definition of faith? You've heard a lot of faith teachers, haven't you? Have you ever learned what it is yet? Most people haven't, you know. Would you like me to give you a perfect definition of faith where it'll last you for the rest of your life? Well, if you've got a piece of paper, take this down. And I'll give you a perfect definition of faith. It'll last you for the rest of your life, and if you'll obey it, you'll receive great blessings from heaven. All the time, the rest of your life. Put down any promise in the Bible to a believer. If I boldly claim it in Jesus' name, and then after I claim it, if I will thank God for it continually, and no doubting, and I thank him for it continually before I ever see it, Jesus will let me see it. Faith is not seen. You live your life by faith and not by sight. Well, I mean, you better live your life by faith and not by sight. I don't even believe half of the stuff I see, hardly nothing I hear. You mean you don't believe stuff you see? Why, dear God, no. If you believe things you see, you never will have faith. No. I go to gospel meetings sometimes, and I don't even believe in them. You say, when you see a miracle, do you believe it's God? Not every time. No. The Bible says the devil performed miracles in the last days. When I go to a crusade or a seminar, if there's a funny spirit there, I don't believe it. I don't believe in nothing they're doing. If the Holy Spirit of God is not there working, I don't believe it. I used to believe everything because my mother taught me to believe people, you know, to believe the preacher. And so when the preacher said something, I'd believe it because he was a minister, a preacher, a pastor, evangelist. And I'd believe it. But since I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I take my Bible with me. I used to believe everything, and now I don't hardly believe nothing. I only believe chapter and verse. I don't hardly believe nothing. You just have to understand this, know this. I know you won't like this, but it's the truth. God don't believe nothing you say anyway. Oh, he don't? Why, no, God don't believe nothing you say. God believes what you do. God believes what Matthew says, what Mark says, and Luke says, and John says, what Acts says. That's what God believes. God don't believe what you say. God believes what you do. Words are cheap. You can tell God, well, I'm going to feed orphans, and I'm going to do some good things for people when I retire and get my bank account built up. Well, he don't believe you're going to do it. The only time he believes you're going to do it, when he actually sees you do it, then he'll believe it. You have to make a believer out of God where you're concerned. You have got to get God to believe in you and also the devil. If you don't remind God what the Bible says, and then you claim it for yourself, God can't help you. And you have to show the devil, you have to show cancer, you have to show lupus, you have to show any devil or demon that you believe God. And brother, the devil will put you to a test, and you better know that. I don't care what kind of a test the devil puts you in. If you'll back that thing up against the wall by faith and not waver, victory will be yours, and you might as well know that. Victory will be yours, blessed be God, forever. It'll be yours in everything. I don't care if it's finances. You say, Brother Noble, why are you successful in business? But because I call myself successful. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'm not an idiot. I used to sit around and not call myself nothing. And I didn't have nothing either. I call myself successful. Oh, really? Well, yeah, I do. Nobody else does, so I might as well do it myself. I call myself healthy. I thank God this morning because I was born again. Because my name is written in heaven. Thank you, Lord, because your divine, precious healing power is flowing through my body in Jesus' name, Lord. It's flowing through me. It's flowing through me now, Lord. It's flowing through me to keep me healthy and keep me strong. It's flowing through me in Jesus' name. I said, what are you praying like that for, Norval? Are you sick? Do you feel bad? No, I'm not sick. I feel like a jackrabbit. What do you mean? What are you praying for healing for? Because God's divine healing power is free for the believer. And I claim it all the time, like every day. Every day, every day, every day. Now, did you get that? In other words, the sum and substance, to make it real quick, right? Now, you tuck it down. What you can thank God for that's promised to you in the Bible. Now, don't start squirrely things. Now, you can pick some things that's not in the Bible if you need something. Or if you just want something that's, according to your faith. But if you will thank God for something before you ever see it, and you won't waver, God will let you see it. But you have to thank him for it. And I mean, you can pick a lot of things and just go ahead and do it and just start now. Well, for normal, for instance, what? Better place to live? Car? Clothes? Better job? Anything. Just start thanking God for it now. Start thanking God for it now. The more you thank him, the stronger you thank him, the quicker it'll come. Everybody say more. Stronger. The quicker. Because as long as you think nonchalant and confess nonchalantly, it could take years. Because God does not confirm nonchalant faith. If you're going to deal with God, you got to say what you mean and mean what you say. Because God is honest. God is completely honest, and you and me are trying to be. You understand that? God is completely honest, and you and me are trying to be. Whatever he says unto you in the word, I guarantee you he'll do it for you. You can stand on the word of God. He promises you stand on the word of God. If the devil comes and visits you with cancer, you know the reason you die is because you worry, and you don't obey God and you worry. That's the reason you die. So the doctor says you got cancer. So what? That don't mean nothing. That don't mean 15 cents worth of nothing. Call it a lie. It's a lie. Everything comes to you from hell, from the devil, is a lie anyway. When you're born again, the devil don't even have no right. God told me in heaven. One time God pulled me out of my body and took me up into heaven and started talking to me. Scared me, though. I got scared. I got so scared. I was so scared. But he started talking to me. And he plainly let me know while I was in heaven. Devils have no right to be on your property. They have no right to do anything to you. And the only reason they do invade you is because you're not the head of your house and you don't rule and reign over your property in Jesus' name, and you don't rule and reign over your family in Jesus' name. If you do it, demons could never get to them, but you don't do it, so just kind of flounder around, you know, and go to work and come in, you know, and pet the dog and mow the grass when you have to, and take out the garbage when you have to, and just kind of float along through life. Well, that's what you'll do, just float along through life. It's all you'll be able to be doing, float along through life. You'll be a floater. They ought to call you Mr. Floater. Just float. But God does what you do. God stays ready all the time to do great things for you. But he's not going to. You understand that? He is not going to do great things for you. Get that through your skull once and for all. God is not going to ever do great things for you unless he hears from you. You better get that straight. If you don't know anything about the Bible, then you learn something about it this week. God's not going to ever do great things for you until he hears from you. You want to know the truth about God and you? Would you like to know the truth about God and you? He longs to hear from you. He waits with great expectancy that he can hear your voice today. He don't like it to know that he's made you and molded you, and he never gets to hear from you. How would you like to have a child you never hear from him? Well, it don't bother me. It bothers Zona, but it don't bother me if I don't hear from Zona like in 2 or 3 days, or, well, a week I start getting lonely. You know, so I'm going to talk to Zona here. Of course, now little Zona, you know, she's a little bit different than I am. She calls me like every day. And, oh, Daddy, I say, hello. She says, Daddy, I was walking across the floor, and I heard a voice that call my little sweet daddy, and hear his voice, and I just want to tell you his voice, Daddy, and I just talk to you, Daddy. You live every day. There's one thing that you can rest assured about Zona. She loves her daddy, and that's for sure. Oh, brother. In fact, she loves her daddy so much, I can't get away. She runs me down sometimes. She says, I bet you thought you was hiding from me, Daddy. Sometimes I'll be in these motels, you know, someplace. Oh, I have a note in my room, and I call back down and says, Mr. Hayes, I'm the hotel operator. And she'll start laughing and says, your daughter sure is funny. She said, your daughter, I have a note to read here to you here. She made me take a note. And she says, you tell my daddy that I love him more than anything in the world, and I miss him, and I want to see him, and I want to hear his voice. He says, well, this time the hotel operator, she's laughing, you know, and she says, she was so funny. She says, she sure does love you, Mr. Hayes. And I said, oh, tell me about it. I said, oh, my God, she's found me again. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. God wants to hear your voice. You know, this is the truth, though. You know, God would like for you to be like that. Now, when I said that, the Holy Ghost in me just started moving and rising up in me. God would like for you to worship him every day. Every day. Every day. John Osteen has something to say to you. He found it out the right way. And he started believing God that his child would be made normal. Started worshiping the Lord and praising the blessed sweet name of Jesus. And started thanking the Lord, thanking the Lord, thanking the Lord. In the darkest hour his family had ever known, looking at a deformed child, and started thanking the Lord for making my child normal. And he believed God and wouldn't waver, and believed God and thanked God for 8 months, and nothing happened. But then into the 8th month, one day the little deformed baby girl was on the floor, just a blob of flesh. And all of a sudden one day, he'd been to thanking God, thank you, Lord, for putting muscles in my daughter's body, that she could be normal. And one day, he saw her arm like this. Well, needless to say, he liked to have a fit. Because medical science had already told him that she can't do that. She don't have no muscles in nothing, not even in her tongue. Not even in her mouth, which she can suck. She don't have no muscles. Never will have any. And he started believing God and thanking God for a miracle and for making his daughter normal. And he just kept on doing the same thing. Wasn't very long until a little while longer, and the left arm went up. Just kept on and on and on. It wasn't very long, and he saw a leg move one day. Just move. Well, you can't move without muscles, you know. And kept on and on and on, and God created muscles in that child's body and turned the child normal, and she just walks everywhere and just normal as she can be. Graduated from ORU. She was the dorm counselor at ORU. Graduated from ORU, 4 years at ORU, graduated, and now then she's in charge of them. She's in charge of a big part of his ministry. In fact, is she his manager? What is Lisa's position? Do you know, Holly? She works for who? What, honey? Yeah, she's over all the young married couples in a church that sees 8,000 people. Works with her daddy in the church. Glory be to God forevermore. And she goes, speaks everywhere. If you'd like to have a seminar sometime, and she'll draw you a good crowd, pastors, too. And you'd like her, too. Her name is Lisa, and she holds seminars now. Advertiser is John Osteen's daughter, brother. People come out to see her. And when they come out, they hear something, too. Lisa has something to say. Because she used to be deformed, but she's not now. Blessed be God forevermore. Brother, when God's done something great for you, you have something great to say. It's wonderful to go places and talk about a great God. You could talk about a great God for 100 years. If you lived to be 100 years old, and you never could explain him like he really is and as great as he is. And how he loves the human race. He loves you so much. Praise God forever. He just loves you so much, that's all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's raise our hands and worship him. I tell you, God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be worshiped. Oh, let the Lord God hear your voice this morning, worshiping him and praising him. God wants to hear your voice. God longs to hear your voice. Let him hear your voice this morning with a praise and worship. Praise and worship. And praise and worship. Oh, God, we praise you because you're a great God. And Lord, you love us, Jesus, and you'll do anything for us. And we claim our rights in Christ Jesus, and we love you, Jesus. We worship thee, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because our families have victory in Jesus' name. Thank God none of our children will ever go to hell. I worship you, Jesus, and praise you, and thank you, Lord, that my daughter is sitting in the front seat this morning with her hands lifted to heaven, worshiping you. Makes a man rich. God said, I'll make you rich and add no sorrow with it. Money don't necessarily make you rich. Getting your family saved, getting them to worship God, getting blessings upon you, letting God bless you makes you rich. That's what makes you rich. Glory be to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Come to a place in your life, people, that you believe that God is truth and not a liar. It'll make you rich. Brother, you believe God for anything. Know that God is truth and not a liar. And he'll do exactly what he says he'll do. And he'll do it for you. Bless God forever, he'll do it for you. It makes you rich, I'm telling you. You can't be rich just because you got a few dollars. That's not what makes you rich. Makes you rich is to find out the system that God has. Believing the Bible and know the Holy Spirit's in you, that he'll do anything for you and he'll perform any scripture for you that you can believe it. He'll perform it for you. Bless God forever. Which one? Well, just try one. It don't make no difference which one. He wrote the thing. Are you kidding me? He'll perform any of it for you. If you can believe it and not doubt. Don't doubt God, though. God don't like doubting. You start that doubting business and God will leave you alone. Don't let no words of doubt come out of your mouth. Don't go around and say, well, I guess I'm an old doubter. Are you kidding? I know the rob a liquor stores to say that. Glory to Jesus forever. Don't say I'm an old doubter. Don't say that. You might as well speak a curse on your life. You're not going to receive anything from God as long as you talk like that. It's just as easy to raise your head up, put your shoulders back, be somebody and say, I believe God. It's to sit around and wallow in your troubles and say, well, I guess I'm just a doubter. Don't say I'm just a doubter. Don't say that. Say, I believe God. See, that's easy to say. Sounds better too. Besides, it feels better. It makes your world feel better when you begin to say, I believe God, and you show God you believe him. Brother, it makes your world feel better. The Holy Spirit will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Blessed be God forever. Somebody says, Brother Norval, how come you're so happy? I said, you got about 10 hours to listen. There's a lot of reasons why you're happy. God does great things for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I lived for years, people. Never got God's plan. I was operating, living in my plan. And I was operating way out here somewhere in God's plan, like going to church and praying for people at the altar and doing different things like that, you know. And I was, you know, living my life right. But then one time God told me to go to Florida and work with college kids on the beach for a week, all Easter week. I want to see your face walking the Fort Lauderdale beach, helping college kids get off of drugs. And I did. Are you ready for this? No, you're not ready for this. The first time in my life that God ever told me on the way to Florida, you're in my perfect will by going on this trip. You are in my perfect will. God never said that to me before in my life. He told me I was in his perfect will. On the way back home, he manifested himself one time to me out in the country and made me over $500,000. Just boop. Just handed it to me. He said, son, here it is. I said, well, dear God in heaven, I said, how come you do this for me, Lord? He said, hey, son, I do it for everybody when they obey me. He said, I only do it for those that their soul prosper. He said, your soul prospered because you obeyed me what I told you to do. He said, well, my soul's prospering, Norval. I'm doing things. Well, God might never told you to do that, though. A lot of people are in ministry, but the wrong kind. Some people are in ministry, and God never put you in that ministry. You put yourself in it. You flaky thing, you put yourself in it. God never told you to do that. Oh, well, I thought the Lord did. Oh, sure. I've thought the Lord did a lot of things he didn't do. You can't just think with God, you have to know. Brother, when God, you say, well, how can I know, Norval? God don't talk to me like that. How can I know? Well, he never did talk to me either until I made myself available. I prayed and give my will to God. I'll be sharing with you Saturday morning things about your will. As long as you have your own will under control, God can never use you to any great degree or bless you with great and mighty blessings. God has to have your will. You have to come to a place that you'll pray a prayer like Jesus prayed in the garden when his sweat turned to blood. God, let your will be done in my life, not mine. Let your will be done in my life. God, I will do anything for you. I will cast out devils in front of my relatives. God, I will pass out tracts in my hometown. God, I will do anything for you. I told God this. I said, I will do anything for you, Jesus, if I know you want me to do it. And you just might as well get your little warped cap on, because when you tell God that, he is going to work you over. I can tell you, he will totally work your sick mind over. Oh, really? I told God that. I thought, now I'm getting close to God, and God's blessing me so much, I'm just going to do anything for God. And I get up and pray, boy, I'd pray like a house of fire. God would bless me for praying. I told God that, and God got me in church on Sunday morning right in front of all of my friends, and during the song service, and the Spirit of God come up on me and blessed me so much, I couldn't hardly stand it. I mean, I couldn't hardly stand it. The Holy Ghost was blessing me so much, I couldn't hardly stand it. And the Lord said to me, get up out of your seat and walk up and down the aisles of the church and around the front. I said, I don't want to. In front of your friends. I said, I don't want to do that. He said, you told me you'd do anything, you flaky thing. You told me you'd do anything. I says, well, I'll feed the poor where nobody can see me. Well, he said, that's good. That's good. He said, I bless people that feeds the poor. He said, but today you told me you'd do anything. And he was blessing me so much I couldn't understand it. I'm telling you, he was blessing me. Oh, God, I thought he was going to take me to heaven. And he wanted me to get up out of my seat and walk on Sunday morning in front of the Sunday morning crowd up and down the aisles around the front of the church like this. Yeah, walk. And he was blessing me so much, I couldn't understand it. And I said, I don't want to do that. I want to be nice, Lord. Just bless me standing right here behind these people. That's what I told God, Barbara. I told him that. But see, I told him, I want to show God I was a real hot believer. And I told him, I said, I'll just do anything for you, God. Oh, he said, really? Thank you. I appreciate that. Then he gets me in church on Sunday morning and then blesses me real big and says, now walk for me. And I go, I don't want to. He just kept on blessing me. He says, but I want you to. I said, but I don't want to do that. He just kept on, he acted like I didn't have no sense. He just kept on blessing me, big, like big time blessing. Life and crown all at the same time, and he don't stop. He won't stop. I said, oh, my God. Then he reminded me, are you a liar or are you truthful? You told me you'd do anything for me. This is what I want you to do. I said, every time I'd tell him no, he'd go like this. It's called delivering you from you. And he finally blessed me so much. You know, he finally blessed my mind so much and blessed my spirit so much and blessed my body so much. I was wrung out like a rag. He finally blessed me so much, I didn't care for nothing. I mean, I didn't care for nothing. I said, I'm trying to get my right leg going. I said, I'm going to do it, Lord. And the devil trying to hold my right leg back. I said, I'm going to do it. And I stepped out. My God, I was getting blessed so much I couldn't even keep my hands still. And I began to walk up down the aisle of the church, full of people, Sunday morning, and they all knew me. Oh, brother. Walk around in front of the church like this, up this aisle, go all the way back down this aisle, here, and come across in front of the church, back up this aisle. About the second trip I made around the church, it was like Peter walking in his shadow, falling on sick people, and they begin to get healed. I began to walk up, and God was blessing me. My face was a mass of tears, and God was blessing me so much, and His Spirit was running up and down through my legs and in my body, you know. And I couldn't understand still. I'm telling you, I was getting blessed so much. And I woke up this like this, and as I'd passed by the people, what was on me got on them. About my third trip around the church, the whole church was acting like me. They were crying all over everywhere, shouting and screaming all over everywhere. I mean, the Holy Ghost just took the place over, I'm telling you. My God took the place over. And when the Holy Ghost took it over, He said, you can sit down now. So I went back to my seat, and God blessed me for a few more minutes. And then my blessing began to lift, and now everybody else has got it. And I felt like I'd been healed. I didn't even know I was sick. I felt like I'd been healed. And I said, oh, God, blessed. You have to watch it. You tell God you'll do anything? Oh, yes, Lord, I will do anything. That's what I thought, you know. I thought He'd let me. I thought when I said that, I was sincere, but I thought He'd let me do what I wanted to do. Well, about the only thing God wants you to do in secret is worship Him. God says, what I see you do in secret, I will reward you openly. And if God can see you worshiping Him in secret and making Him your God, then He'll become God to you. But God don't want His gospel in secret. God wants His gospel on top of the table where the whole world can see it. God don't have a lot of respect for backroom ministries. But let's take this person to the back room and pray for him. Well, why don't you pray for him out in front of the church on a Sunday morning crowd right in the altar? Cast the devil out of him right in front. Because, see, all the people on Sunday morning, they need to learn to cast out devils anyway. Well, I was speaking at Assembly of God Church one time in Evansville, Indiana. Assembly of God. First Assembly of God, if you please. On Sunday morning. I spoke for a full gospel businessmen's banquet there on Saturday night. I went to speak to the church on Sunday morning. I got there, and the pastor was flipping out. He was flipping out when I got there. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do. Brother Norville, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got so many people here this morning. He said, I never saw as many visitors in my life in this church. He said, they're all over everywhere. He said, people coming all over everywhere. I said, well, praise the Lord. Let them come. And that First Assembly of God church is packed out with people and visitors, and I'm speaking, you know, that morning, you know. And all of a sudden, God showed me a homosexual sitting down here close to the front. And the Lord said, and I said, thank you, Lord. I said, I'll take care of that in the back room after service. He said, I want you to take care of it right now. I want these people in this church to watch you. I said, is that right? He said, they need to see it. So I just walked over to the young man, come out behind the bull, walked over here. I said, young man, come here. He walked up, put him on the microphone, said in his ear, God shows me you're a homosexual, I'm going to cast that thing out of you. He said, I said, the Lord's going to set you free. I said, nobody won't know what you are, what you've been doing. I can pray for you and they won't know it. I said, are you ready? I And I said, well, you foul devil that's wrecked this young man's life and trying to get him, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you in Jesus' name, come out of him. I said, come out of him. Jesus' name, you got to obey me. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. I said, come out of him. And he went, fell to the floor and started screaming. And the assembly of God on Sunday morning watched him. He lay there on the floor. He lay there on the floor and screamed and quivered like this, like a shot pig. And all them Assembly of God Sunday morning goers, you know, they look. I said, well, I would have done it in the back room. I said, but God told me that you need to see it, so you do it yourself. All of you don't cast out devils out of God's will anyway. God wants you to, God's trying to get you in his will, like taking authority over devils. God wants you to know that his son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. He wants you to know that his son's name is power, more powerful than all devils. And God loves you so much, he don't want devils messing you and your children up. I said, now this young man, the Holy Ghost gets through with him, he'll be totally free. Free, I said. And they go, yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. It's amazing what God will require you to do, though, sometime, and you tell God, I'll do anything for you. Oh, I'll do anything for you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I was in the service one time, and there was a girl knelt down at the altar, you know. And so I went down and prayed for her. Wasn't nobody else praying for her, so I just got out of my seat, went down and prayed for her. And she was begging for help. She was saying, please help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Please help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. I prayed for about 15 minutes, and I went back to my seat. Three or four more people came down while I was praying for her, and one was sitting over here, kneeling over here, and one kneeling over there, and like one kneeling over here. She's on her knees begging for help. I prayed for her about 15 minutes, you know, and I went back to my seat. I just knelt down beside her and prayed for her, you know. I went back to my seat, and I'm sitting there, you know. And the Spirit of God said to me, why didn't you cast the devil out of her? I said, I didn't want to. My friends are here tonight. He said, I want you to go up there and cast the devil out of her. She's been going to bed with different men. She'd been thrown out of a Pentecostal college because she went to bed with all the boys. Been thrown out of the dormitories, thrown out. I said, God, you know, I want you to cast the devil out of her. I said, Jesus, I'm First Baptist. I don't cast devils out. I said, let these people do it. I said, They're full of gospel people, Lord. I said, let them do it. He said, I can't use them. He said, they've quit. God can't use you if you quit. Quit. Now, isn't that sick? Quit obeying the Bible. Did you ever stop and think about that? Quit. Yeah, he told me, he said, they've quit. I said, quit? I never have started. What do you mean, quit? I'm First Baptist. But I told him I'd do anything for it. But you told me you'd do anything. I said, I don't know how to cast out devil. He said, yes, you do. Stay in Jesus' name, come out. I said, oh. I said, I don't want to. I said, God, my friends are here. I said, what do you do these things to me for, Lord? I said, my friends are here. He said, you told me you'd do anything for me. I said, well, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want you to know I love you, Lord. You know, shut up. See, I've been hearing you say that all the time. You love me, you love me, you love me. I've been hearing you. You're going around the country the last 3 or 4 years. You're going around the country speaking these fancy banquets that you speak to. And you've been telling people all I've done for you, you know, and the Lord has done such great things for me. And I love the Lord. And, oh, I just love the Lord because he's done some great things for me. See, I've been hearing you stand in front of these fancy banquets telling people that all the time. I love the Lord. And tell him all I've done for you. He said, I love the Lord. You say, I love the Lord. He said, tonight, I demand you show me you love me. I said, I don't show you by speaking at fancy banquets. Is that your own version? Then he pointed out to me, he says, look at her. Look at her. I said, look at her. I stared at her. He said, she's begging for help. In my name, she's begging for help. And nobody in the building or nobody in town will help her. She's been from church to church to church trying to get somebody to help her, and they all pray for her like you did. Devils don't leave by praying. They leave because you cast them out in my name. She's begging for help, but nobody to help her. Now, this is a Pentecostal town. 50, 60 Pentecostal churches there. In fact, she's a Church of God girl. Nobody to help her. She'd go to church and beg them to help her, and they'd pray for her. And I said, oh, God. She said, I want you to cast the devil out of her. And I said, Jesus, what do you do these things to me for? He said, because you told me you'd do anything for me. I said, well, I do love you, Lord. He says, well, prove it. And he said, look at her. I looked at her. And this is what got me. He said, I love that girl. Now, don't you listen to this. He said, I love that girl. I don't care how many boys she's been to bed with. I love her, and I love all the ones like her. And if you're going to work for me, you better understand that. And the only reason she does things wrong is because of the demon of lust. I didn't put the demon of lust in her. The devil put it in her. You go up there in my name and speak to that thing with authority and tell it to come out, and it'll come out. I said, Lord, give me power and I'll do it. I said, God, now, you know, I don't have much sense. I said, give me power and I'll do it. I said, I told you I'd do anything. I don't have enough power. I got First Baptist power. God, I don't have enough power to do that. All of a sudden, power came in my tongue. It came in my eyes. It came in my fingers. It came in my feet. It came in my all over. I felt like Samson. I had power all over me. I got up out of my seat and I walked down front. I don't mean I walked down front like this, sneaking around, hoping it would leave and I wouldn't have to do it. I walked down front like this. I said, have her stand up. God's going to set her free. They had to stand up. I said, and you foul spirit that's wrecked this girl's life, in Jesus' name, I command you, old baby, come out of her. When I did that, something went by me. And I went, well, what was that? I looked around, but I looked around. She wasn't standing here no more. She was way over yonder, flat of her back on the floor, going, and all the old ladies in church that comes to Tuesday morning prayer meeting, you know, to praise all the time, they're the one that keeps your church open. I guess you know that. All of them with the power of God hit the place, and all them old ladies went, aah! All over the church, everywhere. I'm standing there, and all these people are shouting all over everywhere, and she's laying there. I said, oh, God, a revival has hit this place. Just because I went in Jesus' name, come out of her. Oh, it's amazing what God will do for you if you obey him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil has been, yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, it was beautiful, man. I mean, God set her free. Her daddy came over and put his head on my shoulder. I don't know, he says, oh, Mr. Hayes, thank you for praying for my daughter. He said, she's nearly drove her mother and me crazy for 2 years. She's nearly drove us crazy. A real nice Church of God fellow. Real precious man, his wife, he says. She nearly drove us crazy for 2 years. Them devils were in her, making her do all kinds of things. He said, but look at her now. He said, she's free tonight. Oh, God. He said, she's so free tonight. He said, she's free. Thank you, Mr. Hayes. About 6 months later, they called up, you know, and says, this girl's going to get married, and she wants you to come and read the Bible to at the wedding. And I said, oh, really? I said, let me see if I've got that date open. I did. They lived in Dalton, Georgia. I went down there with the preacher to read the Bible to the wedding. We're standing there in our wedding suits, Brother, I got my scripture already. I'm going to read, and the preacher's standing here. She's going to walk up to me first, and then after I read the Bible to her, she said, I want Brother Noble to read the Bible to my wedding. I want him to have a part of my wedding. He said, he set me free. He got me out of bondage. And so she thought I hung the moon from then on. Anything happened, she called me on the phone. I said, oh, God. And so, and then she goes, step on in front of the pastor. See, after I read the Bible to her. So we're standing there, flowers. Now, this is in their home. The wedding's going to take place in their home. Flowers all over everywhere. And we're standing there, you know, and friends and beautiful dresses and everything, you know, and this started. And here comes the bride. We're standing there. Here comes the bride. You know how they do, they walk slow, you know. She come walk around the end of the room, that pretty dress. Their face shining like new money. Started walking right towards me. And I'm watching her. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost on the inside of my belly, he began to rise up in me. Tears began to gush out of both eyes like a water faucet. I'm standing there. I'm getting blessed so much. I'm about half choking. He's trying to bless me so much. And I said, oh, my God, I can't even see the Bible. How am I going to read it to her? I couldn't either. I just went, he blessed me so much, I just went half blind. I couldn't even see the Bible. I said, my God, how am I going to read this to her? I can't even see the Bible. I'm getting blessed so much. But I couldn't take it. She walked around the corner, and Jesus spoke to me. Yeah, spoke to me. I'm standing there. Now, people, I mean, I don't, you know, if I do something for you and you say, thank you, Brother Noble, I appreciate that. I just go and say, well, you're welcome. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. But now, I've never had Jesus to thank me before. You have to understand that. I never had Jesus to speak to me and thank me for anything before. I'm sure he appreciated things you do, but I mean to actually, literally, thank me. She come walking around the corner, walking towards me. And he said, son, I want to thank you for using my name and making them devils leave her. Now then she walks before you like an angel, clean and white as snow. Thank you, son. And the Holy Ghost is going, now I'm going, I'm getting so blessed I can't hardly stand it. I mean, I'm about to come unglued, and I'm about to help perform a wedding, and I'm about to come unglued. Glory to God when Jesus thanks you for something. Can you think about it, people? The God that made the world and spoke them into existence would thank a little peanut human being like me for doing something. You know, think about a God like that recognizing you, thanking you for doing something for him. Glory to God. Makes me want to shout. And I finally got a hold of myself, got a hold of my handkerchief, got my eyes where I could read the Bible a little bit, you know, and read the Bible. Oh, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. It's wonderful to have the Lord God to thank you for something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you need help this morning, let's just all stand to our feet. Praise God forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need help this morning from God, turn your face toward heaven. Put your hands up to heaven and begin to thank God. Just thank God boldly. Brother, when you thank God boldly for something, he begins to help you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sarabo kota malayandi kisidioto kodoloka mahanda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hilabo kosata bayo loloka monsayete kisidioto kodoloka haya. Thank you, Lord, for total victory. Total victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for total victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me strong and not weak. Thank you, Lord, for total victory in Jesus' name. Jesus is truth and the devil is a liar. Thank God for victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I keep thinking about that scripture, pray for one another that you be healed yourself. James 5, I think, 16. If you will, right before we leave this morning, reach out and get somebody's hand. Don't pray for yourself no more. You know, you thank God for a few minutes there, you know, for what you need. Open up your mouth and pray out loud for the person you're holding hands to. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to heal them. Pray out loud that you hear yourself pray. Pray for one another that you may be healed yourself. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Santa Boca Lolaca Yaga Costa Yotica. Hila Boca Sata Balalaca Biata Casayotica. Hara Boca Sata Balalaca.